Your bulletin. Let's pray as we come to the Word. Lord, Your Word is truth. Truth not just for us, but truth for everybody. Truth eternally. And we pray that Your truth would speak to our hearts and minds today, and that You would be honored. In Jesus' name, amen. So in theory, we are one of the most connected generations of all time, probably the most connected generation. A lot of us have these or other things like it, and you can talk face-to-face with somebody somewhere in the country, literally face-to-face, somewhere else in the country or the world. And, you know, when I think about it, if you're under 30, you're thinking, yeah, no big deal, right? But if you grew up with a rotary phone, You're thinking, see, she has no idea about these things. She doesn't. She's not going to know a world without these. So, technically, we're connected to each other. We can FaceTime, we can Facebook, we can Instagram, we can Snapchat, we can email, we can text each other. But recent studies have shown we are also one of the most lonely generations. People are feeling isolated and separated. And, you know, it's interesting that you can be in a room full of people. You can see a bunch of young kids in a room, and they're all next to each other, but they're all like this. And we joke. I'm not sure whether I'm considered young or old in this. I'm kind of in the middle of that. But I will say that the older generation does something better than the younger generation does, and that's just face-to-face, get to know each other, and build relationships. And as I was thinking about this, God put that in us to be relational, to be social beings. In the garden, Adam was alone, and God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone." He said it right there. And Eve was formed, and Adam and Eve were together. And we desire relationships. It fulfills us to be in relationship with one another. But the most important relationship, the one that really, truly fills us, is that relationship with God. And I hope that's how you view your faith, as a relationship and not a religion, not just going through the motions. I hope you don't just say your prayers. I hope you talk to God and speak to Him. And so what we're going to do this summer is we're going to go through the Psalms. And not all the Psalms, because there's 150 of them. We couldn't get through it in the summer. But I want to start with Psalm 139. It's split up into four sections of six verses each. And then after we get through that in June, we're going to move on to some other Psalms. And what's great about Psalms is they can be taken independently. One Psalm isn't dependent on another because they're songs or prayers to God. And this is how we can speak to God with our own issues that are going on in our life. So if you come to the Psalms and you're thinking, what does this have to do with me? And I would say everything. There's people going through adversity in Psalms. There's people going through grieving in Psalms. There's people experiencing joy in Psalms. And sometimes you have experiences in life when you don't even know what to say. And you just look up and you go, ugh. By the way, God can interpret that. It says in Scripture, the Holy Spirit interprets our groaning. So He can hear that and understand that. But if you want to put your groaning to words, the Psalms can do that. And if this psalm we're going to read today, or at least the first six verses, was written by David, who was a regular guy. Well, he was a king. But still, he was a guy who experienced a lot of the things we did. He experienced sin. He experienced temptation. He experienced success and victory. He experienced pain and suffering. Everything in between. So he's just like us. So the Psalms are a way for us to communicate with our Lord. And so today we're just going to begin the first six verses of Psalm 139. Psalm 139, verse 1 says, "O Lord, You have searched me, and You know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, You know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in, behind and before. You have laid Your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me to attain." So we're just going to stick with those six verses here, but I want you to see something. God knows us. Not only does He know us, He desires to know us more. He searches us, it says. He searches deep into us. And it's not that He just knows about us. You know, you can read a biography about somebody, about some historical figure, and you can learn about them, but you don't know them. You know, but God knows us. And it's through Jesus Christ that He knows us. That's how our relationship is formed. You put your faith in Jesus and we're reconciled to God. But He knows us and He searches us and He seeks us out. He knows what's in our heart. And that's such a great comforting thing to know. You know, in this world you can feel lonely. You can be separated from other people. But God is always with you. And I hope you're encouraged by that. But think about this. Think about the people in your life that you really know. Not just the ones you know about, but you really know. Your spouse, your kids, your parents, your relatives and friends. You know them. You know what's going on in their head sometimes. You know, husbands and wives do this. You can kind of read each other's minds. You know, I noticed my parents at the supper table, my dad will kind of look this way and my mom will give him a napkin. It's like, it's just automatic. It's just, that's what's going to happen there. And you know, I can tell when I look at Christy, I can tell what's going on in her head. She has a face she gets when she's a little stressed. She goes like this. Okay? And if Caleb knows this. And if she were here, she would go like this. Because she's like, why are you talking about me? So, but I know exactly what's going on in there. God knows you better than that. Better than you know your kids or your spouse. He knows you intimately. And I hope that you appreciate that. And that you have a relationship with God. And it's not just a religion. It's not just saying your prayers, going through motions. It's an intimate relationship. Other things I want you to see in this passage. He knows everything that you do, when you sit and when you rise. And that's a Hebrew expression for when you're resting and when you're doing stuff. All right? He says, you discern my going out and my lying down. And that idea is when you're traveling, when you're in a hotel, wherever you go, He knows where you are. He also knows everything we think. You perceive my thoughts from afar. So everything in my head He knows. He knows every word before we speak it. That's crazy. That's crazy good that He knows everything about you. But here's the thing about that. You can't trick God. As human beings, we put on masks. We put on different faces for different people that are in our lives. Maybe you put on a church face. I hope you don't. I hope you're the same person here that you are at home. But sometimes in front of different people, we act differently, and sometimes you can trick people. You know, I know this from experience about just being a guy or a young guy growing up. And, you know, I've noticed watching sports games, and sometimes Christy will say, why does that guy act so overconfident and arrogant? You know, he's strutting around. Why is he doing that? And being a guy, I know the answer. It's because he's scared. It's because he's insecure. It's because there's something inferior that he feels is about him, and he's trying to, you know, overcome that in some way, and he doesn't want to look weak in front of the other guys. I can't speak for every single guy in the world, but I know that that stuff kind of happens as you're growing up, and I know that guys are sometimes afraid to be emotional and let out their feelings. Oh, that's kind of wimpy. We don't want to do that stuff. And so we get tough and we put on masks. But you know, one thing I think about when I read about a guy like David, David was just open with his emotions. And you want to talk about a tough guy? David was a warrior. You know, the David and Goliath story was just the beginning. He became a warrior. But he also wrote songs. He also opened up with his feelings. And so we don't need to put on masks. But here's the thing with God. No matter what mask, no matter what you're trying to show people, maybe you're trying to show people you're smart or tough or that you're successful, whatever you're doing with your clothes or with whatever you're driving to show people who you are, God knows the real you. And He loves you anyway. He knows what's in here, and He loves you. And I hope that you see this in this passage. And in the first verse, I actually circled it. O Lord, you have searched me. I circled that word, searched me. There's a God who really wants to know us. He is searching every fiber of our soul. And I hope that you feel that and that you understand that you have a relationship with this great God. In verse 5, he says, "You hem me in behind and before." So here's the idea that God is on every side of us. He's not just watching us from a distance, saying, "I hope it all works out well for you." He's right here with us. He is protecting you in everything that you do in life. And I'll share a story with you. I don't know if I've shared it before, but it was on one of my trips to Haiti, and it was the one trip I went to Haiti by myself. And I got to the baggage carousel at the airport in Haiti, and I was supposed to meet my driver out there who was picking me up. And all I can describe it as is I had a panic attack. Then these were the thoughts going through my head. What are you doing here? Why did you come alone? What if your driver's not here? You're in trouble. And I just started to feel it. And the baggage wasn't coming out. My suitcase wasn't coming out. I'm just waiting and waiting. So I had a lot of time to think, which is a dangerous thing. And I'm just standing there just kind of thinking about all this. And I just started to pray. I just prayed, just standing there in the airport, just praying. And this thought came to my head and to my mind. And you can make of this what you want, but here was my thought. The thought was, you have an angel to your right and an angel to your left and an angel behind you, and all you have to do is look straight ahead. And to me, it was God saying to me, "I gotcha." And I'll tell you what, I'm not one of those people that runs around like talking to angels and worshiping angels all the time. I actually don't think that's a good idea. Worship God and talk to God. If he decides to send an angel to help you, that's his prerogative. He gets to do what he wants. But we're all about Jesus here. And however he wants to protect me, whether it's his own hand, whether it's an angel, whether it's another person, it's him protecting me. It's him on one side and him on the other, him behind me and him before me. And that should give you peace. I'll tell you what, I got immediate peace after a few minutes in that airport. And my driver was out there and everything was fine. And you ever get yourself all worked up about something, and then you realize God was already there. And not only is he in front of me physically, he's in front of me in time. He's in the next moment, in the next day. He's all around me, and he's involved in my life. And it says this, "You have laid your hand on me." So here's an idea. This is an idea of encouragement. So here's what God does, and I'll do this. I'll pick VJ. It's like he's doing this. Just stay there. He's going like this. "I got you. I love you." That's what the Lord has done. He's put our hand on us. He's put his hand on us. And this, David, in completing this section, writes, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain." In Hebrew, the word could be just translated, "Wow!" Right? Just, this is amazing that this God knows me and loves me. He protects me all around me, and he puts his hand on me like a father puts his hand on a child, like a friend puts his hand on another friend. It's just a wonderful thing to think of. And David, who's writing this, here's a guy who was acquainted with adversity. He was anointed the king of Israel when he was a teenager, but he didn't become the actual king for about 15 more years. And he spent a lot of his time hiding in caves because the king at the time, Saul, wanted to kill him. He was running in the wilderness. He had to run to a foreign country. He was just had a lot of pressure on him. And I wonder when he wrote these words and how comforting these were to him, that there's a God who knows him and loves him and who's there for him. So just by way of application today, just a few things today I'd like you to think about. First, take time to ponder God. Take time to talk to God. Take time to seek God and know God. I hope this isn't all you get of God during your week. I hope you go home and pray. I hope you get up tomorrow and pray, and tomorrow night and pray, and all throughout the day and pray, and seek the Lord, and open the Word, and seek His face. I hope you do that, because there's a God who wants to be in relationship with you. Do you realize how many people in this world don't want to be in relationship with you? A lot. There's a lot of people who don't want to give you the time of day. You know, I noticed that if you go to a big city, if you go to Boston or New York and you walk down the street, nobody wants to be your friend. Okay? Nobody. They just want to get where they're going. The God of the universe is not too busy to want to know you and be your friend. And the scripture says Jesus, he calls us friends. That's crazy. The one who created the universe is our friend. So take time to ponder the Lord, spend time with the Lord. Another thing to think about is this. God is always with you. This should be a little bit convicting and challenging. When you're in your house, in your own room, in your car, in your office, when nobody else is looking, God is looking. God is there. Think about that every day. And I know that's challenging, but think about it on the other side of it. That's so encouraging. No matter where I am and what I'm doing, God is with me, and he's watching over me. And even if bad things happen, he's there to protect. To protect me from myself sometimes. To protect me from someone coming from the outside too. He's always there. And the other thing, the last thing I want to give you today is this. That in terms of your relationships, God's voice is the only one that matters. His opinion of you, which is truth, is the only one that matters. We get so bogged down with worrying about what other people think instead of just caring about what God thinks of us. That's what should matter. The one who truly knows us, the one who sees right through our heart, the one we can't trick, he's the one that we should be trying to please. And you know, I think about, there have been times in my life when I've tried to please people, and it just, you can please some, but when you please these people over here, then you're upsetting these people over here, and you can't do it. And I remember a time in our church, I learned this lesson early on. I've probably been here a couple years, and within about a month's time, one person in this church said to me, "Everything has changed here since you came." And another person came up to me a few weeks later and said, "Nothing ever changes here." And I stopped and I was like, what do I do with that? Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to please God. Whatever he wants me to do, that's what we're going to do. And sorry, folks, just he's the only one that I desire to please. And if we are all seeking to please God, we will all be on the same page. And here's the other application to that. Be authentic. Be real. Be who you are. Be the person God created you to be. Be the best person God created you to be. Be real with him. Have you ever kind of tried to pray to God and kind of say, well, if I pray this, God will do this. If I pray that, then he'll do that. Guess what? He hears your thoughts. Okay? You can't just pray. Just pray to the Lord. This is what's on my heart. This is what's on my mind. Be authentic. Be real with the Lord. Be real with one another. Our relationship with God is the only one that truly matters, and his voice is the one that matters most. Let's pray. Father, we are humbled that you know us, that you want to know us, that you love us, that you care for us, you watch over us. Lord, I pray that we would be open books, that we would open our hearts and minds to you. Lord, I pray there wouldn't be anything false about us or phony. But Lord, I pray that we would be authentic worshipers and lovers of Jesus. I pray this all in your name and all in your glory, for your glory. Amen. I'll ask the elders to come forward as we prepare for communion.